so far?
Yes.
Great. I praise God for you. I'm excited about what God's going to do tonight. And I apologize to those of you who were not bound. I just thought I had enough, and I left the rest over in my room. But we brought them tonight. And I hope the rest of you brought your string with you, your bondage with you. And we will finish that activity. Look at my girl. Yeah, she got it wrapped around. We'll get it done at the end of tonight. And if you left yours, we may have some extra. But we're going to do the ladies first who did not get one. Is that okay? We thank you. We thank you for your love, for your patience, for your understanding. And I need to apologize to you. My computer broke down before I could send a... what do you call it when you look over your stuff again? Final draft. I had to go ahead and send out what I had. My computer was down, so I mailed it off. I couldn't even send it by computer. But as I've gone through, I've noticed some errors, more errors than I would like to see. And so would you forgive me for that?
Amen.
And as you search the scripture, please know that my heart was right. And there's one that says Philippians, I believe, 19, and that's certainly not true. It should be Philippians 1:9. And so, and you're going to probably find some more. But this is what I'd like to do tonight. I'd like to begin with what I've been saying I wanted to share with you. And as I read through Paul again today, it came to me that our God did not only work in Paul and all the other fabulous people in the Bible. But he works in me, and he works in you. And I'm to take his word and use it to glorify him. And so are you. And God does not mind you putting his words, putting your name in his word, and claiming that word for yourself. Do you understand what I'm saying? So I came up with this little thing when I felt as if I was still struggling with, and I'm not going to belabor it, but I do want you to have it. But it's what God gave me. I do know this, if you are still before God, he will teach you too. Okay? Will you agree with that with me? So what will it take was the question that we asked on Friday night. What it would take to get these chains off me. And for me, it was what will it take for me to no longer be in dealing with this issue of people pleasing. And so let's hope that this works well. It's going to take four things for me. And if somebody will get Psalm 46:10, I would appreciate it. And somebody gets Psalm 139:23, and then 2 Corinthians 12. I'm going to do that tonight, and I'll talk with you just a brief. So we won't get that. I'm going to go through that tonight. And then Jeremiah 29:11 through 13. And what God told me, as I told you this morning, was just be still. Don't try to shake this off. Don't try to argue about it. Don't try to go to anybody and talk to anybody about it. You just be still before me. And it took about a month just sitting, being still with God. So that issue that you have written down on your notes from the Friday, it's not going to happen overnight, is it? Shake your head and agree with me. And I think you all know that if you've lived long enough, God just does not move like that. He moves at his time and in his way. So the first thing was to be still. Who's got Psalm 46:10? Okay, stand up and read it nice and loud.
Psalms 46:10. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth.
That, my friends, is the bottom line.
Amen.
I started with God, and I pray we end with God. That is the bottom line. Sit before your God and wait for him to help you resolve your issue. And the second verse, second one is, first one is still. The second one is be searched. And what do I mean by that? Psalm 139, somebody read that, 23 through 24. Who has it? Stand up, baby. Read nice and loud. If you want to be released from your bondage, you're going to have to ask God to search you. Now, I know some of us are in bondage because of what somebody else did. If you were abused as a child or whatever the situation is, abandoned as a child, hurt, But God still has to search you and try your heart. This is what he told me to do, okay? And then you need to be sufficient. He has to be sufficient. And I'll talk to you about that tonight as I speak. And then be satisfied. Jeremiah 29:11.
For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord.
Amen.
Thoughts of peace and not evil. Give you a future and a hope.
Amen. Praise God. Our God is a good God.
Yes, he is.
He is a good God. Psalm 119:68, write that down, says, God is good, and he does good. We like to say God is good all the time, God is good. But beyond him being good, he is good. He is goodness all by himself. Okay, so I just wanted to share that with you so that you have it. And that those are the steps that God took me through in order to deal with what he had to have me do. Yours may be different. He may do it another way for you. But if you need a model, if you need some help, if you need to even use that if you want to, follow it, okay? Follow some kind of plan. Don't just say, I'm in bondage and I need to be free. You can work at it with God. God will work at it in you. All right. Now would you please turn to Matthew 11, and we're going to go there and then back to Paul. And we're going to finish up with Paul this evening. Because to me, and I hope that you are finding it the same, Paul is an excellent example of what God will do in a life that's sold out, tied up, pressed into, and loving him. Okay, do we have it? Amen. Let me find my Bible. Matthew 11. Jesus is talking, and he says, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And I want to show you another. Got too much paper here. I'm going to move around just a little bit tonight, so bear with me. I want to show you another overhead. And this overhead might help you, and I'm sure, how many of you know what a yoke is? Not too many people. Okay. A yoke is made out of wood, and it's what farmers use. Can you see that? It's not a good picture, but it's still, that doesn't make it any better. But can you see that a yoke is a wooden instrument that a farmer puts around the neck of a cow, or puts a cow's neck in? And in order to train a calf how to plow the field, they put him in a smaller one. Can you see that? It's smaller than the big one. So now Jesus says, come to me, my yoke is easy. And what is he saying when he says that? He is saying, if you get in the yoke with me, I'm able to walk you through whatever it is you're dealing with. And you are young and small and weak and unable. So you get in this littler yoke, and I'm going to teach you how to plow life with me. All right? And so as we move through life with him, if we're jerking and moving and trying to go faster, our necks will rub in the yoke and begin to hurt us. And so the leader, the bigger cow, doesn't have to say a word. Jesus doesn't have to say a word to you. You'll get back in line. Okay? And then as you move with him, if you're anything like me, after I'm moving with Jesus for a while, then I get kind of like cocky. I can do this, as my girl says, I got this. And so I will want to come do something fancy. But the yoke, the way it's configured, will draw me right back into line. And what's the best thing for us to do when we feel that yank or that pull by the mature God Almighty, the one who's leading us? Get back in line. Your bondage, ladies, sometimes is to get you back in line. It's not what somebody did to you. It's something God allowed to happen to you. Everything, everything, everything filters through the hands of our mighty God.
Yes.
So you understand then what the yoke is about. I have another picture, and I don't know if it will show up. Maybe you'll get a... Didn't come out too good. Didn't come out too good. This is the bigger one, and this is the smaller one. The smaller one. That's the Lord God Almighty, and that's you and me. Good looking. Good looking. Okay, he says then, my yoke is easy and my burden light. So number one, what must you do? You must humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and he will lift you up. Okay, thank you. Now, how does that relate to Paul? Paul somehow had that down. Paul truly understood. I have got to get in this yoke that's easy with God and let him lead me. And no matter what was going on in his life, I picture him as, now it's hard, but I picture him as being in the yoke and letting God lead him step by step by step. And so this morning we talked about him. I think we ended with him being a bondservant. And I want to move on to persecution. But just to remind you, when you are a bondservant, Paul was connected to Jesus and a servant of Jesus Christ, and he did not mind being in that position. Do you mind being a servant for God? I'm not talking about doing nice things for people. I'm not talking about being a Christian. But I mean being a slave for God. Looking to him for everything that you want and need. Bowed down and humble. Answer your phone, like I said this morning, one time. Hello, this is Yvonne, a bondservant of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Paul was persecuted, my ladies. We're going there. How many of Paul's persecutions have you endured? And I'm going to read this list. See if you find yourself there. And if you do, put a little line under. Paul was in many labors. He was in prison many times. Anybody been in prison here? You don't have to raise your hand. It's okay. He was beaten without number and often close to death. 5 times he was beaten from the Jews with 39 lashes. And as I understand it, if they beat you the 40th lash, they were so bad, by the time you got to 40, you may as well have been dead. So they would quit at 39. Okay? He was shipwrecked several times, night and day, and he spent some time in the deep. That meant that the ship was wrecked, and they sat right there, couldn't go any further. He went on many journeys. We talked about his missionary journeys this morning. He was in dangers from robbers. That might be one we might be familiar with. Anybody here been in a danger from being robbed? Well, this is a new one, two, okay. Dangers from his own countrymen. Dangers from Gentiles. Paul's ministry was to the Gentiles. These were people who were not Jews, okay? He was in danger in the city, dangers in the wilderness, dangers on the sea, dangers among false brethren, people who were teaching falsely, and accusing Paul of teaching falsely. He was hungry, he was thirsty, he was cold, he was exposed. He had daily concerns about the people he was ministering to. He was building, replanting churches. He was confronted by agitators. He was distressed over people worshiping idols. And he was called names. He was called a babbler. Now remember, we talked about Paul being very intelligent. But he was teaching about Jesus. And the things of God are foolishness to people who don't know anything about God. But it's life to those of us who know God. Now, have you experienced any of those hardships? Just raise your hand if you've experienced at least one. At least one. Okay, that's not bad. Add that to the one you wrote down. Have you experienced, what is that, about 20 different kinds of ways that Paul was persecuted? And he would count it all joy? Oh my gosh, counting it all joy. But again, this is his persecution. If you remember, who was the persecutor when he was Saul? He was the persecutor. And now he is being persecuted. Now, Paul could have a pity party, you know. Well, I understand, God. I persecuted people, so this is payback time for me. And I'll just sit here and get my persecution. But as we talked about it this morning, Paul sat next to one of his guards and prayed with and for them. So, let's go down then to Paul's prayers. God kept Paul on his knees. And some say that his knees look like knotted tree limbs. I'm going to look down at my knees and see. Check your knees out. And I went through and I Googled, modern day technology, Paul's prayers. And guess how many prayers that are identified that belong to Paul? 84. If you like to do something unusual, go online and Google Paul's prayers. And when they come up, the 84, just take one a day and just read through it and pray through it. For example, turn to Ephesians 1:17. Paul was always praying for his situation, praying for the people that he ministered to. And in Ephesians 1:17-19, he says, I keep asking God, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, that he may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you will know him better. Oh, my sisters, that's a wonderful prayer to pray for yourself and for others, that we have a spirit of wisdom and revelation, understanding, so that we may know him, God, Christ Jesus, better. And then pray that your eyes, the eyes of your heart, be enlightened in order that you may know the hope. There's hope, ladies and gentlemen. There's hope in which he has called you, and that you may know the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people. Is anyone a holy person in here? God has called you a holy person. Are you holy? And then Ephesians 3:16 says, turn one over a couple chapters, Paul praying again, I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his spirit in your inner being. That's one of my favorite. Oh, I want to be strengthened in my inner being. This outer body is perishing, ladies. My outer body, your outer body is perishing. This flesh will just fade away. But the inner person I want to grow, so that, verse 17, Christ may dwell in your heart through faith. And I pray that you be, don't you just love this, be rooted and established in love. That means standing strong, your feet firmly planted in the ground. I am a believer. I had someone say to me, you all so-called believers. No, I'm not a so-called believer. I am a believer. Don't let anybody call you a so-called believer if you know and love Christ Jesus. You're a believer. Stand firm in your belief. Don't be wishy-washy and shaking. Well, I guess, I don't know. Last night I did something and I might not be. If you're a believer, you're a believer. Live like it. Act like it. Stand like it. Verse 18, so that you may have power together with all of the Lord's holy people to grasp, to hold on to get how wide, how long, how high, and how deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses understanding, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. And then this is the part I love the best. Now to him who is able. I have an able God. I have an able God. The situation I dealt with was not going to overcome me. I have an able God. Your situation is not going to overcome. You have Christ Jesus in you. You have the power of the Holy Spirit in you. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine, according to his power that works within us. Verse 21, To him be all glory. To him be all glory. He is worthy. In the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever. I love that. The Bible says, for me and my household will be saved. Pray for your children. Pray for your grandchildren. If you don't have any, pray for the ones to come. Pray for their mates, their future mates. I don't know who's going to marry Nathan, Paige, and Cabby, and Trey. But I'm praying for them. I'm praying for them. Let's move on to Paul and the fact that Paul had peace as he was in prison. All of those, I don't know, 10, 12, 15 things, he had peace. And he talked about peace often. How often have you said, I've got peace about this? Can you say it now? I've got peace about whatever it is. Lord, give me peace about peace that surpasses all understanding. Ephesians 2:14, Philippians 4:7, and Colossians 1:20. Somebody find that. Let's wake up, my sisters. We're not going to sleep right now. And you had a wonderful banquet. The food was delicious. But we're eating spiritual food tonight. Pinch the person next to you. Say, don't go to sleep. You might miss something. You don't want to miss it. You're going to want to know what to do with that bondage when you leave here. I'm telling you that Satan's waiting for you at the bottom of the hill to smack you right upside your head. Barbara said you won't even have to go that far. You will not have to go that far. Ephesians 2:14, and Philippians 4:7, and Colossians 1:20. Somebody read nice and loud. 2:14.
For he himself is our peace.
Uh-oh, back up. Read it again.
For he himself is our peace, who has made the two one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility.
Man, what Jesus did when he rose from the dead, the veil was rent. There was a division between man and God in the Holy of Holies. But what Jesus did, that veil just tore open. And I understand it was thick and it tore from the top to the bottom.
Yes, right.
He made a peace for us. He reconciled us so that we can go back to Jesus, to God, and be related to him and have reconciliation with him again, because we were at enmity with him after what Eve did. He is our peace. Jesus is our peace. 4:7, Philippians. Nice and loud, somebody.
And peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.
Now remember, this is Paul writing this. Paul in prison? Think about it. He's writing the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. Guard your hearts and your minds. And it must be a terrible thing to the mind to be in prison. I can't even fathom that. Talking about peace and freedom in God. Whew, that blows my mind. Colossians 1:20. Somebody, nice and loud. Come on.
And having made peace through the blood of his cross.
Read that again, nice and loud.
And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven.
Okay, did you finish it? Because I'm not looking at it.
Okay, 21. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now have he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his life.
Okay, you get this picture of Paul, the persecutor. Mm-hmm. You get him? Mm-hmm. And now we've got Paul being persecuted. And he's read that one more time, sister, nice and loud. This stand.
And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, mm-hmm. that now hath he reconciled mm-hmm. in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy mm-hmm. and unblameable and unprovable in his sight, mm-hmm. if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister.
Listen to that. Mm-hmm. Now, God can do that for Paul, who was Saul. Woo! Guess what he can do for you?
Amen.
Don't ever doubt, my sisters. Don't ever doubt.
Amen.
Guess what he will and can and has done for you. Okay, let's move on. Somebody's going to tell me the time. Now we're going to move to this one in 2 Corinthians 12, 7. And we're not going to do all of it, but we're going to read a good portion of it. So if you'll turn with me to 2 Corinthians, we're going to talk about Paul's thorn in the flesh. We've talked about him being a bondservant, being persecuted, some of the prayers that he prayed, the peace that Paul has. And if we read the word, that same peace will overcome you. And then Paul's thorn in the flesh, 2 Corinthians 12. Seven. Praise God. Amen. All right. Are we there? All right. Somehow, Paul was allowed to see something very, very special. This whole business of him maybe being caught up, visions and things that he's seen that God had just for him to see. And in verse 7, he says, because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, for this reason, to keep me from being exalted, there has been given to me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me, to keep me from exalting myself. Now, do you have it, everybody? I'm seeing some people looking puzzled. Okay. Concerning this, I implored the Lord. He didn't just ask the Lord. It's like he pleaded with the Lord three times that it might leave me. I suspect, like me, that some of you have asked the Lord one time to take away this bondage, two times to take it away, three times to take it away, maybe four, five. How many have done it more than five times? Lord, take this bondage away from me. Don't be shy. Don't be shy. You've asked many times to take it away. And he said to him, now let's put you in there. Concerning this, I implored the Lord. I, Joyce, implored the Lord, pleaded with the Lord five times. You can say whatever yours is. That is thing, this thorn in my flesh, leave me. And he has said to me, my grace is sufficient. So the third word on there was sufficient. Okay? So now the issue that you have written on your paper, I know you are so gonna be glad when I stop talking about that issue. But I'm talking about it because I want you to understand that through Christ Jesus, that it's not a hopeless case.
Amen.
It isn't hopeless. Do you believe that? Shake your head.
Yeah.
Say amen.
Amen.
It is not hopeless. Mm-hmm. His grace is sufficient for that.
Amen.
I know some of you have cried about it. I know some of you have pleaded about it, been anguished, lost sleep about it, been angry with yourself and with God. Am I telling the truth?
Yes,
yes I am.
Yes.
But what has he said? What has he said? Let me put it this way. My precious daughter, my grace is sufficient. You are the apple of my eye. And my grace is sufficient. I love you. And my grace is sufficient. This is not something that I got slapped upside the head. Oh, I'm so surprised that happened to you, Sally. I'm so sorry. I wasn't thinking, Susan, when I laid that situation on you. That's not our God. He is omniscient. He knows everything from the beginning to the end and in the middle. Someone once said, God is like looking at a parade. When we look at a parade, we see what's in front of us. But God sees the parade when it starts, while it's going on, and when it's finished. He knows everything from eternity past to eternity future. And he said, verse 9, my grace is sufficient for you, Joyce. For what reason? For power is perfected in weakness.
Yes.
Oh no, Lord, you're going to tell me that grace is sufficient, and then now I have to be weak? That's something we black women don't deal with too well. If you know Rebecca Ozebowo, white women don't deal with too well either. If you know Rebecca Ozebowo, she talks about the strong black woman. If you were here when she did that, I mean, we can. There's nothing I can't do. I had that attitude, and I'm sure some attitude like that sitting right in here. He says, but my power is perfected in weakness. Well, what am I going to get weak about? What am I going to get small about? What am I going to get let God take care of instead of me trying to take care of? That bondage issue. His grace is sufficient for that. When you submit, humble yourself, and give it to him, just offer it up to him. Here, Lord, take it, take it. I don't want it anymore. Then he's able to work with you and with me. So he said, most gladly, therefore, this is Paul talking now, our poor, poor Paul. He said, most gladly, therefore, I would rather boast about my weakness so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. When you leave here tomorrow, you're going to say, you're that bondage issue, sister girl. The power of God is in me. It's not going to get me down. Boast about that. Boast about that. Therefore, he says in verse 10, I am well content with weakness, with insults, with distress, with persecution, with difficulties, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. See, you win. You win. You win, my sisters. Say hallelujah, somebody. You win. Victory is yours. Victory is yours. Amen, amen, amen. So that's the thorn in the flesh. That's the third or fourth one, but you have them written down, right? So you submit, you say it to me. You submit, what do you do next? You search. He is sufficient. Then you be satisfied with the fact that Jeremiah 29:11, he's smart. He said, I know the plans I have for you, which includes that word bondage on your paper. I know the thoughts I have for you. Plans for good. Doesn't look like good right now, Lord, but plans for good and not for evil. Satan will tell you all kinds of lies about what God means to you, who God is, what God says. Don't listen to that. Point your finger at him and say, God said he knows the plans he has for me. Plans for good and not for evil. Plans to give me a future and a hope. We've got a few more minutes that I want to briefly say to you. Turn to the table of contents in your Bible. Anybody know where the table of contents is in their Bible? Paul wrote many of the books in the New Testament, 13 of them. And have you ever been to the table of contents? I know you have, with somebody speaking to you. Okay, go to the New Testament, and we're going to begin with the book of Romans. Got it? And Paul, now we know so much about Paul now, we don't want to hear another word about Paul. But he was sitting in prison, and he was either writing or dictating these books. Now, where did you get time to do that? In dim light, on a hard surface, with a quill pen. He didn't have he couldn't do that. But here he was. Now, some of us can hardly live without our... But Paul had a quill and some ink. And if it ran out, he had to wait 2 weeks for somebody to bring him some more. But he was writing these books, these love letters to you, so that you could believe them, read them, live by them. So he wrote Romans, First Corinthians, Second Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, First and Second Thessalonians, First and Second Timothy, Titus, Philemon, and that we don't know quite yet who wrote Hebrews. But those he wrote, he did all of that. When you get a chance, sit with your Bible and grab all of them like this and say, wow, look what Paul did in prison. Mama. And I can hardly go to work when something comes on me in my life. I have to stay home and cry. I'm messing with you. But it's true. It's true. I fall apart. I know you fall apart too. Stand on the Word of God. If you don't have a role model from the Bible, my girl, my sisters, get one. This has encouraged my heart. I just can't tell you how it's encouraged my heart to know that this man lived through what he lived through, but he still loved my God and your God. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Lord, I know in a crowd this big, there's someone who has not said yes to you. I know there's a woman with a sin issue. She's ashamed, Father, and she doesn't want anybody to know that she doesn't know you. And as my sweet friend Susan says, our heart is beating and she's drowning in her own fear, Lord. But I pray, Father God, that you would shake her loose from that chair. That you would shake her loose, Father, and have her stand on the promises of Jesus Christ. That if you call on the name of Jesus right now, right here, today, just call his name, you shall be saved. Is there anyone who would like to call the name of Jesus? Raise your hand up real quick. Amen. And be saved. And if you're not saved, just if you're not saved, if you're saved, it's all right. Those of us who are saved, pray. Pray. Don't let self, Satan, sin keep you from coming to know the Savior. He loves you. He has proved it to you this weekend. He has brought you to a place where you can be yourself, where you can be transparent. You've listened to women speaking to you who have bared their hearts out, let you know that there's a God and the God is real. He said, don't be ashamed of me. Don't be ashamed of me. If you're ashamed of me, then I'll be ashamed of you in front of the Father. Is there one, just one? Is there one who's not sure? I may be a Christian, Joyce, but I'm not sure. Things are piling up so heavy and hard on me. I'm stumbling under the burden of them. Help me, help me. Pray for me. Let me get this off my chest. Hand it to Jesus, because his yoke is easy and his burden is light. Is there one? Is there one? Pray for the woman sitting next to you. Pray for the woman sitting to your right, the one to your left. She may be fearful. You may have to take her hand and walk down here with her. We can do that. You can do that. Oh God, we thank you. We praise you and we glorify you. We know that you are more than able to save. And Father, we thank you that these women have come to hear the word of God. We thank you, Father, that you have spoken to us, Lord. And Father, we are thankful that the thorn in our flesh is sufficient. Your grace is sufficient. Because when we are weak, then you are strong, oh God. Help us to be humble women before you. Not proud, not lifted up, but just humble. Sitting at the feet of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you for this opportunity to praise your name and to glorify you. And I pray all of this in the name of Jesus Christ, my Lord and my Savior. Amen.
Amen.
I want us to sit quietly because we talked this morning about our call, that God has called us to be in bondage to Him. And so I'm going to ask my sisters to take their baskets and get ready for the ones who did not get theirs this morning. And I understand that some of you were very touched this morning by just that little simple activity. And if that's true, and you just keep it in your Bible, remember the commitment you made to God. Lord, I'm going to be bound to you. Not no longer going to be bound to my flesh, the world, and the devil. But I am going to be bound to you. And listen as we hear this song that she's going to play for us. Yeah? Thank you. Those of you who already have yours, you stay seated and quiet and praying. And if you want to rewrap your arms, go ahead. Let your neighbor do yours. If you didn't bring yours, I have some extra, and at the end I'll let you have the extra. But those who did not get one, please get in line. Do not visit. Do not talk. Pray. If you can use anybody, Lord, you can use me. Surrender yourself to the Lord.
Touch my heart. Speak through me.
Praise God. Lord, you can use. He said if we don't praise him, he'll let the rocks cry out.
Lord, you call Moses from the wilderness.
I don't want a rock crying out for me.
You use him to lead your people.
Amen.
Over to the promised land.
Amen.
Lord, I'm willing to trust in you. So take my life, Lord, and use it too. Yes, if you can use it.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. You don't have to be perfect for God to use you. You don't have to have the whole Bible memorized for God to use you. All you have to do is surrender yourself to Him. He has made you to be used for His purposes. Amen.
David fought Goliath, and that mighty giant
Amen.
Fell. He proved to his people that God was alive in Israel. Lord, I'm available to you.
Amen, amen.
And I'm wanting to be you. Yes, I am, Lord. You can use me, Lord. Come on and use me.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Do you have some extra?
That Jesus said, he took two fish and five loaves, and the multitude was fed. Lord, what I have may not be much,
yes,
but I know it can multiply by your touch.
Yes, Lord.
So if you can use anything, Lord,
come on
and use me.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Is there anyone who did not get to go up this morning? This is just a symbol. There's nothing magic about it. It's a piece of string, but it's an object lesson to help you know that not only does God love you, provides for you, created you, but He wants you bound to Him. Not your sin, not your problems, not people, nothing. He wants you bound to Him. He'll take care of the rest. Are you doing each other, Gene? Want somebody to do you? Amen. Amen. If you forgot yours, you can just put your hands together, because that's a good, just put your hands together. You know, they nailed our Savior to the cross through His, what's that called? His wrists. Very painful way to be murdered. We say He was crucified, but He was murdered for me and for you. A horrible death. Are we ready? Amen. Even our lovely pianist, I don't know how she can't play now. That's okay, baby. That's okay.
Jesus.
Yes. Okay, let me see. Let me see. Praise your name. Praise your name, Lord. Just look around at how many women have committed to being bound to the cross, bound to Jesus. Amen. 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 Father, thank you so very much for your love for us. Father, you loved us so much that you have said that we can be bound to you. Oh, Father, that just gives my heart such joy. Lord, thank you for my sisters. Thank you for their willingness to commit to living a life, Father, that pleases you. Father, thank you that we are committed to walking in the freedom of being bound. That just amazes me. That amazes me. But there's freedom in it, Father. You have said so. So we thank you for it. Father, don't let us wiggle and squiggle out of it. Help us to stay on that cross, Lord. Stay bound to you. Oh, Father, someone has said we can kiss our chains, Lord. We can kiss this bondage. We can embrace it to our hearts, Lord. And know that the God who has made us cares enough about us to keep us close to Him. Oh God, thank you. Praise you. Glorify you. Oh Father, I'm amazed at what you do. What you do for us. Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all we can ask or think or do, to Him be the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Let's give God some glory. Yeah. Let's give God some glory. Let's give Him some glory. He is worthy. He is oh so worthy. Amen. Just close your eyes and listen to the rest of the song. And then after that, we can go. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
You can use anything, Lord. You can use me.
You can use me, Lord.
Yes, you can.
You can use anything, Lord. You can use me.
Use me.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Take my hands, Lord, and my feet.
Thank you, Lord.
Touch my heart.
Touch my heart, Lord.
Speak through
me.
Lord, you can use
anything. You can use anything, Lord.
thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord.
Lord, you called Moses from the wilderness.
Thank you, Lord.
You put a rod in his hand. You used him to lead over to the promised land.
Thank you, Father.
Lord, I'm willing to trust in you. So take my life, Lord, and use it.
Thank you, Lord.
If you can use anything, Lord, come on and use me.
You can use anything, Lord. You can use me.
I'm willing to be used tonight, Lord. Yes, I am.
My feet.
Touch my heart.
Speak through me, Lord. You can use anything, Lord.
When David fought Goliath and that mighty giant fell, he proved to his people that God was alive in Israel. Lord, I'm available to you, and I'm wanting to be used. Yes, I am, Lord. You can use anything, Lord. Come on and use me. That Jesus said, he took 2 fish and 5 loaves, and the multitude was fed. Lord, what I have may not be much, but I know it can multiply by your touch. So if you can use anything, Lord, come on and use me. Yes, Lord.
Ask is our willingness, just our obedience and our willingness. He can use any of us. Some of us are proof of that. We praise him for that. Thank you, Miss Joyce. That was wonderful. Okay, the next thing on the agenda is the snacks at 9:15. Excuse me. And then at 9:45, come back here. And we're going to have praise time. We're going to have our skits. And I think you'll enjoy that. It's a little more relaxed and usually a lot of fun. So, and God can still use even the skits to teach us. So, let's be back here at 9:45 for our praise time. You're dismissed.
unalterable, unchangeable. You see the depth of our heart, and you love us the same. You are amazing, God. You are amazing, God. You are amazing, God. There's no one like you, no. You're so sweet to us. You're so loyal. You're so faithful. You should have given up on it, but you still love us, oh God.
In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace. When fears are stilled, when striving cease, my comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. In Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in hell, let's obey this gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save. Till on that cross that Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. For every sin on him was laid. Here in the death of Christ I live. I live. I live. Oh, there in the ground his body darkness lay, and bursting forth in glorious day. Up from the grave he rose again, and as he stands in victory, since curse has lost its grip on me, for I am his and he mine, bought with the precious blood of Christ. Of Christ. No guilt in life, the power of Christ in me. From lies was Christ.
What does the cross of Jesus mean? It's more. Thank you.
light of the world, you step down into darkness. Open my eyes and let me see beauty that made this heart adore you. Hope of a life spent with you. Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. King of all days, oh so highly exalted, glorious in heaven above. Humbly you came to the earth you created, and all for love's sake you became poor. Here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my
special tribute to New Orleans, the place where music lives and breathes. And we want to give God praise right here tonight in the House of Blues. Come on.
Move on over.
One more song to sing, just one more song, one more. So I went to church with my mother and father that Sunday morning, and mama preached a message. She said, prayer's the solution. And when she got through preaching that message, God gave her a song. This is what she said, this is what she said. Oh, trusting in you. There's a power resting in me. Yeah. Stir them gifts, stir them gifts, stir them gifts, stir them gifts that the Lord has placed.